Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill It Now. My name is Marcus Bronzy. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you in advance for killing some time with us. Now, we have had some good news recently. A few weeks back, How to Kill It Now attended via online video, aka Zoom, the British Podcast Awards, and we're really happy to say that we stepped away with an accolade in the best interview category. As an independent black-owned podcast, we are really, really happy to be able to be up there punching with some of the world's biggest broadcasters and companies that work with them who produce podcast content. We are up alongside those guys. So to even be in the conversation where we were nominated was a real, real privilege. So to come away with something that we can hold our heads high with was a real big thing. Now, if you're a big fan of the show or you've been listening to us for a while, or you're like one of those people that notices little changes in things. Like, we had an episode 98 and episode 99, and then we skipped straight to an episode 100 because I said a few years back, you know, let's save episode 100 for when something important happens or something we want to celebrate. And I guess this is it. So that's why we have called this episode 100. And what we're going to do to make it even more confusing is we are splitting this 100th episode into a few chunks. And what we're going to do is we're going to look back at some of the fun that we've had over the years at How to Kill an Hour, and also talk to some of our main contributors, our family of presenters that have joined us over the years. Now, when we first started How to Kill an Hour, it was just myself, Ace, and Billy in a dingy basement recording the podcast. And about 9 episodes in, Ace had to go over to Canada, and Dev, we invited onto the show, who's now obviously a regular presenter, and we did this thing which was kind of like, for us, we find it quite amazing at the time, but now it's like whatever with Zoom, but we got Ace to dial in via Skype, and we got to record him in the show and have a chat with him, and I think what's funny about this clip is Dev and I weren't really ready for how much of an experience Canada was for Ace. He was out there for quite a serious reason, which you'll hear in the clips, but he's also somebody that I don't think was really enjoying the Canadian, well, much of what Canada had to offer, really. He was enjoying seeing his family, but in this clip from episode 9, you'll be able to hear about Ace's experience in Canada and how it all came tumbling down quite literally. And then afterwards, we're going to have a chat with Ace.
The first thing is, don't ever call Canadians Americans. They will punch you in your face.
I'll slap you with some bacon.
They really. And I'm in Montreal right now, which is the second most French speaking city after Paris.
Really?
Yeah. So they speak French over here.
So is it more French than English?
Yeah, like French is the first language.
So
like, in school, you learn French and English.
So how have you been surviving out there?
I don't know. I just point at stuff, innit? Get me that. Point at it and just throw the money on the table.
Do they need to, though? Do they need to speak French over there? Aren't they just being a bit extra? It's like, oh, come on, Montreal. Everyone else over that side of the world is talking English, right? Like, no, we want to be special. We want to speak French. You guys are free, man. Right, you guys are free. You speak whatever you want.
It's strange, like they speak French, and when they speak English, it's got an American accent, and their money's got the Queen on it. It's all weird.
I think they're too isolated. I think they need to tell him, man, that the Queen, the sovereign doesn't have that much power anymore, guys. Take the Queen off your money and be free. You could be like the Abe Lincoln of Montreal, Ace. You could run around, free the slaves.
I don't think I care that much if I'm with. See, I'm out here because my aunt passed away. Rest in peace to Arnie K.
R.I.P. Arnie K. Lots of love.
I'm an amazing woman, and we're all out for the funeral. And so I'm in the family house. Everyone's grieving and stuff. And I'm just about to leave to my hotel. Everyone's in there. My aunts are in there. My cousins are in there. And my aunt's got a really beautiful house in Montreal. And it's something I'm not very used to, the context of a basement. Because we're from London, and not a lot of people have basements in London. I know about houses and flats and stuff. And my mum's got a house, but she ain't got a basement, and I've never really seen a lot of basements. And so as I'm leaving, and the house, the front room's quite dark, I've kind of stepped back and forgot that it was a stairwell to a basement. So I've literally fallen down the stairs. Now this, that's funny. Already it's funny, but what's funny is the length of time it's taken for me to get from the top of the stairs all the way to the bottom. But you know, like, it took me so long. Like, I'm literally falling and thinking at the same time. Like, I'm like, raw, I'm falling down the stairs. Oh shit, everybody's upstairs and they've just seen me fall down the stairs. What am I going to say when I hit the bottom? Like, I had this whole conversation in my head, like, as I'm falling down the stairs.
Were you falling down the stairs backwards?
To a point where I was like, no, do you know what? Like, I was falling for so long that at one point I was like, okay, right, that's the end. Oh, shit, no, I'm still going. It took me about half an hour to get to the bottom of the stairs. This is how long it took me to get to the bottom of the stairs, yeah? My cousin Rachel seen me fall and got to the bottom of the stairs before me to try and help me. And then I licked the bottom of the stairs, and all I could think to say to everybody was, I'm okay. And I've looked up, and there was just loads of black faces. There was someone was screaming, and I haven't been able to live it down for the last 3 days. My leg is totally fucked, and I'm gonna send you a picture of the stairwell so you understand.
Yes,
it was like, it was almost as like I was falling to hell. It was forever. I wouldn't stop going.
Ace, please send that to us, no. Please, or Snapchat it. Send a video. We'll put that online, man. We have to.
I was falling for so episode. Long.
Should we put it up as a bonus episode? Ace, just show us the stairs.
My uncle was upstairs sleeping. By the time I got to the bottom of the stairs, he was up. The neighbors are like, "What was that?" Yeah, it was a lot. I pride myself on saying I've never fallen downstairs before.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
It's Ace. What's going on, bro?
What's going on? I'm having horrible flashbacks of falling down them stairs. I think I've only just stopped limping like last week.
Oh, man. What's going on, bro? Been a long time, man.
It's been a minute, man. It's good to see you, bro, with all that hair as well. What's going on over there, man?
Well, lockdown has been a time where I've definitely known that I still have the capacity to grow mad afro, but it's at the point now where it's, and I think it'll be like this for a long time. If I try to grow this and make it into, like, you know, I'm not saying it's not a proper afro, but you know, like an afro that has real presence. Yeah. Right. Instead of looking like, bro, you kind of need to get a trim. Like, I think I'm about 2-3 months away from that now.
I think like growing out your hairline is the new flex. I can't do that. And whenever I see people with a hairline, I'm like, raw. That to me is like you having the sickest rollie. The fact that you can like, the fact that you've got this strong hairline, it's a flex. You could be in any car. It doesn't matter. You could be in a Micra, in a Nissan Micra. But from you got that full hairline, you are winning. So salute to you, man, and everybody else that's got a hairline.
You know what, though? To be fair, it's easier for you, though, isn't it? It's less maintenance. Less maintenance, bruv.
Yeah, but I mean, I would swap a lot for a hairline. I'm not going to lie. I always say, if I ever hit lottery, I'll be in Turkey that weekend. And by summer, I'll have dreads. Long dreads.
Do you know there's a few ways of doing it? Have you seen the tattoo ones?
No, I don't like that, man. I think I'll go the whole hog. Like, I don't want to do... And people keep sending me, like, DMs with the man weave and all that. Like, I'm not really into that. I don't want to do that. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to go and get the surgery. I'm going to get the plugs. Is it called plugs?
Hair plugs. Plugs.
Yeah.
Where does the hair actually come from, though? Like, is it somebody else's? Is it your own?
I'm doing a bit of research into this. So basically, what they do is they take the follicles out of the back of your head, I think, yeah. I believe.
Right.
And then they kind of do it in... There's a couple other ways, actually. There's a way where they, like, inject your hairline. Like, what they do is they take blood out. I'm starting to do this. They take blood out and they inject your hairline with blood that they've, like, put in this machine and whisked it around. And then your hairline might like that. But apparently, that's quite painful. Then there's a way where they take the follicles out the back of your head and then they pull it on something like that. I don't know.
So but they take that hair from where the back of your head is and put that onto the top of your head?
Yeah.
but once you get it done once, if your hairline continues to recede, isn't there going to be a gap where there's like baby fresh hair and then there's hair that is in the wrong place? So would you have to keep doing it?
I haven't necessarily thought about it. I mean, Wayne Rooney did it and his hair looks all right now, isn't it?
Yeah, but I reckon he's got enough money for the top-ups. Do you know what I mean? If he had to go back and fill in a little bit here and there, he's all right. Who else's hairline came back?
Tory Lanez.
Yeah,
Tiger.
Yeah. French Montana.
French Montana. Safari and Tiger had the same doctor.
Right.
So, salute to all of those guys that did that. I believe, there's someone else that I think did it, but I don't know if he wants us to know. But there is a very, very popular UK MC that I believe went and got the top up.
I'm just going to get, can I have a guess?
I mean, you can, but I'm not going to confirm or deny.
All right. I'm looking at Ace's face as I say this. Romeo So Solid Crew.
Nah, it's definitely not Romeo.
Harvey So Solid Crew.
You're thinking too old school. Believe it or not.
New school. Okay.
This person is still active today and very active, actually.
Bizzle.
But I'm not going to say any more than that.
Bizzle. He's not.
I'm not going to say any more. Allow it, because you're whittling it down. But there is definitely an MC. I'm about 80% sure that this MC has confirmed to me that they went to Turkey.
Interesting. Do you know what? Speaking about hairlines, do you know what MC's never really had a shape up ever?
Who?
Kano.
Yeah, he doesn't need to. He's just pretty, innit?
He's always had the COVID trim, like the trim where it's like one level and he doesn't have to do anything to it.
Yeah, just that low one. It's true. I don't think I've seen him with a fade.
Never. It's always been like a one level. Interesting. Very interesting. Big up to K. And I've noticed one thing about all of the UKG crews, like they always have a barber in them. So I know in Roll Deep, do you know who the barber is?
No, tell me.
It's the one you would not expect. The one who has had the most hair for the longest amount of time.
Flodan?
Yeah, Flodan was the barber.
The barber?
Yeah, we were in Iron Apple in like 2006, I think it was, or 2007 or something. And he was the one doing trip. Like we needed trims. We were working together and he was the barber. So he took out the clippers and gave us the trim.
You know, Flodan can play basketball as well. He's got bear tricks under his sleeve. I didn't know that. He's really good at basketball.
Never ending talent. And he also can drive a transit van. If you're old school Flodan.
Are you?
Yes. You're an old school fan, you'll know about that lyric. But yeah, Ace, it's been like 4 years since we did that episode. That was episode 9 of How to Kill an Hour, where you took the trip down the stairs.
Crazy, man. You know, my family will remind me of that moment.
That's what I was just about to ask you. I was going to say, like, whenever you're in Montreal, have you gone back to Montreal since?
I haven't been back to Montreal since, but I've seen my family from Montreal. And yes, that is a ongoing family joke at family functions. So salute to Hannah, salute to Josh, salute to Rachel. Yes, they still laugh at the fact that I took a 20-minute trip down their stairs. One flight of stairs. I don't know why it took so long still to this day. And like I said, I think I only have just recently stopped limping. I used to go to the barbershop and the man would be like, fam, have you been doctors yet? I'm like, nah, I'm all right, man. I'm all right.
We actually did it. I won't play a clip from it. We did a follow-up episode of your leg and it did get pretty bad, didn't it? There was like antibiotics. there was doctors involved.
Hella skin off the front. It was like a big white patch of flesh.
Mm.
Yeah, it's still a mad scar, but it is what it is. These things happen.
Yeah. And have you been near any basements since?
No. That's all I know we don't really have in the UK's basements, innit? No one don't really have basements here. Like, that's definitely like a America-Canadian thing, like, to have a basement. You know, like, I've been watching so many... you know, one thing I've been doing during quarantine is watching so many, like, crime docs. And the amount of crimes that happen in basements. And I'm like, maybe our crime isn't that bad over here because we don't have basements. Like, really
like guns. Do you think it's like, so the more guns there are, the more crime there is, but you also think the more basements there are, the more crime there is?
Definitely. so many things have happened in the basement. Yeah, I was in my grand's basement. Why is the grand always got a basement as well? Think about
the person
that.
Who's the least likely to be able to go up and down those little creaky stairs that they've got to a basement.
Yeah. So what is in these basements? They have basements and garages. Do they need all of this space? What's going on?
And attics as well.
Attics, yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know, man. That's very weird. Very weird. I shall investigate. But what else has been going on with you, Ace, man? You've been very busy. In fact, can I just salute you? I want to say for the Black Lives Matter episode that you did with BBC Radio 1 Extra, like you and Shawnee B really sat down and had a real deep heart-to-heart about being black in the UK, basically. And I think... We did an episode here at How to Kill an Hour. You did some great content, but it was really nice to kind of hear two black men having a conversation that we've all had off air, but to hear you have that conversation, quite frankly, it gave us good energy to kind of feel like we were with you in that moment.
Definitely. I think like me and Marcus, we bond because we have a love of broadcasting. And I think what comes across is our love for what we do, definitely. So like if it's me and it's music, if it's Marcus and it's tech, whatever, like we talk about that and we talk about it in depth. So we don't always have the opportunity to talk personally, and especially Shawnee. Shawnee is dancehall man. Whenever he's on the mic, he's talking dancehall, whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? With me, I might do daytime, I might talk about popular culture, I might talk about R&B, whatever. And I just think even having this 18-year BBC career, people have never really had an opportunity to hear me talk about some of the injustices I may feel like I've faced, or just me personally. Like, they might feel like they know me, but they don't really know. So I think it really hit home to a lot of people, some of the things that we were saying. And us even said it the next day, like, the response has been overwhelming. But I think the response more so comes from the fact that people that even work with me day in, day out would not know how I felt about my position in this industry based on what I look like, how I feel I have to, how I have to maneuver through the building, all of these different things, or how I just have to maneuver in life. And I just think there was many like key bits of that show that sit with me. And it's one of the proudest things I've ever done, man. And I always say this, whenever people ask me about that show, I just really want to salute to the white woman called Kaylee, who was honest enough to come on the line and say, this goes against everything I believe in. I don't know why I feel this way, but if I saw a big black man walking down the street, I would be intimidated. And I think a lot of people would have been like, looked at themselves and be like, raw, would I be intimidated? And if I am intimidated, then why? Where does that come from? And I just think conversations are having around everything that we've been talking about recently. And the conversation is where change begins. And these conversations weren't happening before. And now they're happening. People are starting to open their eyes. I've been having conversations with some of the strangest, I wouldn't say strange as in they're strange people, just people that have reached out to me that, one, I didn't know I existed, and two, I just didn't think would necessarily care as much. It's crazy. I'm really proud of what we did, and I genuinely feel like this moment right now, the needle is being moved in the direction of progress. I don't know how you feel about it, Marcus.
I feel like now we've had a lot of light on the matter. It's been spread. And I think now, like you said, the needle of progress is moving. I think we need to focus on making sure we've had conversation now. We've pushed that agenda, and that's happening. Conversation's happening, but now it's about holding companies accountable so that there's change, and us making sure that we continue to push forward. So for me, it's like more of a, now we've had the conversation and some action, now we need to continue that action. So someone who's doing something that I really believe is amazing is Swiss Black Pound Day, something that's going to continue now. It wasn't just a day where we as a country invested in black businesses. Now, when you look at the Black Pound Day website, they've got, this is happening next month. This is the next one. Then we just have to continue things moving. So I think that's great. And also the fact that we've all got social media now, and accountability, like I just said, is a big thing. So these big companies that have said they're going to make change, they're going to do things, this is the time now where we can say, hey, you tweeted that a month ago. Where are you at now? You tweeted that a month ago. I'm on your website and I'm looking at your board of directors. Do you know what I mean? And Funk Butcher's been someone as well. Like, we can't get him at the moment because he's like in the middle of putting together a black mix mag, because he's editing that now. So he's making sure that he's doing some amazing stuff there. He's been somebody who's been amazing as well over this time as well. And
I'd love seeing what Funk's been doing, man. Salute to Funk.
Yeah, he's
been absolutely killing it. Just poignant, and he just hits home, man. So salute to Funk for sure.
I would not want to be on his bad side on Twitter, you know.
And he got a nice little army as well. Like, I like that as well.
Yeah, he has. But so yeah, I think Ace, now we've had the conversation, and thank you for having that conversation for you and Shawnee. And like, now I just think now is the time for action. Do you know what I mean? We've had a wonderful story that came up about Bristol, where they took down a statue of a slave owner. Yeah, basically what he was. And they replaced it with one of the activists that was there on the day. And now the Bristol have taken it down, the council, but they've put it in the museum, because they said, obviously, they have to have a conversation about what goes up next. They can't just have somebody popping up a statue. But the fact that they've taken that, and that's now gone into their museum as part of history, that's now a conversation point as well. So, yeah, man, I feel like
if anyone energy's from Bristol, there was a... I wish I knew the guy's name, but someone will look this up. But the first bus strike in Bristol, so there was like I wish I got the details, but there was a bus strike in Bristol, and it was to do with the fact that black people couldn't get on buses. It was kind of like the Rosa Parks thing, and there was a black man that fronted that. I think he was a bus driver. That guy, I can't remember his name. I wish I had got this information, but guys will look it up. There was the first bus strike in Bristol. If we can celebrate that and get people to know about that. That story for me is something I want kids to know about, and I think especially for that city as well. And you know, Bristol's got so much history as well, man. Especially in terms of black people, so much history. And I was saying when that Colston Hall came down. Colston statue came down. I've DJed at Colston Hall like maybe three or four times, and I had no idea that the hall was named after this guy. I had no idea. I've played there with Angie Stone, I think with A. Marie. I did some research. I think the Marleys have played there. Like, it's mad. Like, people probably don't know. So yeah, I enjoyed watching the statue come down. I did.
Yeah. And the renaming of the hall, that's up for debate as well. That's up. Yeah.
Which is gonna happen. For sure.
It's got to happen, man. And yeah, as a broadcaster, you've been active, man. Can we talk about your FM soiree at the moment as well? FM soiree.
I launched a show in Ghana, which is hella fun, man. Like, so I got a message from a friend of a friend who was like, look, they're looking, they really want you to come, and they're launching a new station in Ghana called Asasi FM. The owner of it is quite a big deal over there. And he's like, he's doing the bully boy tactics. He's stealing all of the big presenters from other Ghanaian radio stations. I love it. I love the media monopoly. Like, I wish I was over there to be part of it. But he's taking like loads of presenters from various different radio stations, and he's put them all on this network called Asasi FM. And we're killing it in Ghana. Absolutely. Where people are locked in to me every Saturday night. They're giving me free reign to do whatever I want. I've been just mixing it up, screaming on in my house. I'm able to broadcast from my house, which is a beautiful thing. And it's gotten a great, great response. And I'm live on the radio in Ghana every Friday night. I've got family over there that are hitting me up saying, yo, you're killing it. I've done literally my third show now, and I'm just really enjoying it. And like, obviously during COVID, I haven't had an opportunity to broadcast live. Like my shows, and this is like me lifting the curtain, but my shows on Saturday are pre-recorded. And I'm doing them from home, and I'm pre-recording them during the week. So like, just to be back on live radio has been so refreshing to me, man.
Ooh, yeah. So, and it's a big country to be across, man, as well. It's like 30 million people, I think. So it's a lot of people, man.
I also think like, for us, this is the market that we all need to be looking at, man. G Money, who was a presenter on One Extra, he moved to Kenya. Maybe for, he was like, yeah, I'm just going to go and see what it's like over there. He was offered a job over there. Let me just see what it's like. He thought he'd be back in a year. He's been there since, I don't know, it's been over 10 years now. He's just there. He's situated. He's a celebrity in Kenya, and he has shows that are syndicated all over Africa. So he runs a station in Kenya. He's the head of a station in Kenya, but he also has a show in Ghana. He's got a show in South Africa. And I just think all of us need to be thinking more global, man. I think this is the beautiful thing about what you're doing as well. Like you, this is your platform. This is a platform that you started, and it goes everywhere. It's not run by radar figures or how many listeners you get or how much advertising you can sell. Like your show, you record it and it just goes out there and it's everywhere. And I think we all need to be starting to think more global. Like the internet makes the world tiny. And I think for a long time, we've all had this, like, wanting to bust in the ends and wanting to bust in the UK mentality. Forget that, man. Like, the world is massive, but the world is also small because the internet, we are so connected to everywhere. I'm broadcasting live to the whole of Ghana from my bedroom. That is nuts. And we can all do things like this. So yeah, technology is a beautiful thing, and it's allowing us to all be more international. Let's do that. Let's start thinking more international.
Yeah, and it also enables us to own as well, which I think that's an important thing. It's like, editorially, we can choose what we want to put out here. And it's a responsibility as well, like now that, you know, we've 5 years deep in the game, but also the fact that you can have ownership over your music when you put it out, you know, you can have ownership over your podcast when you put it out. You don't have to bend to the will of others. It's a freeing experience, man. And it makes the juice well, much more worth the squeeze, 100%, man. So
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like, you know, all you need now is you've got one of the roadcasters, isn't it? The roadcaster.
Yeah, I just bought a roadcaster. It's like, I don't know why I haven't had it for ages. You know what's funny? So I started to get, well, this is a tech podcast.
Yeah, kind of, like, crack on. Yeah, crack on, bro.
So I had a Procaster mic. I've had a Procaster mic for ages.
Yeah.
And I've been plugging it into a mixer, and it just doesn't, like, you got to whack the gain all the way up to get anything out of it. And I've never understood, like, this mic's supposed to be good. And then I did a little bit of research, and I was like, I've got the wrong mixer for the Procaster. So I looked into the Rodecaster. I was like, okay, let me pick up one of these. Picked up a Rodecaster, and it's just like, this is phenomenal, man. Like, yeah, it's changed the way I do everything. Like, I think there's a couple of things I would change on it.
What would you change? Because I'm having chats with Rode about a few things like this. They're open to listen.
This is what they need. They just need an input for music. I think the phone input is all right, but I think they just need a phono in or a jack in for music. Like, I just think the little phone mini jack thing, because mine's like hissing at the moment. I don't know if there's a problem with mine, but I just think like it just needs a fader that is strictly for another mixer or music. It just needs that. That's what it needs, and it'll be perfect.
Yeah, like another input. Yeah, I think it could do with that. And also, I could do with having like two effects channels. So this sounds real extra, but I'd like to be able to play like music and then sound effects over the top just as an option. Do you know what I mean? So just another little fader for sound effects, and or maybe a way to kind of can give a bit more control. And also reverb. They gave us reverb on the... Actually, I think you might be able to hear it now. Let me see if you can hear this. They've given it to us on the beta version. Let me try to turn it on. Can you even hear this? Can you hear reverb now or not?
I can't.
Well, they've not put it on properly because, yeah, you can get... I can hear reverb, but they've not. But I'd like to be able to put a little bit of that on the mic as well. Just give a bit of energy to it if you want as well.
It's a wicked bit of kit, man.
Yeah, I think punches, man.
The Bluetooth option is dope. Like, it may, like, even the fact that you can set it to whatever mics you've got, it's, I think it's really good. I just think that another music input.
Yeah, it would be the winner. But yeah, man, it's a sick thing. And the mics are all right as well. We've done some reviews on the Pod mics as well, which are kind of reasonably priced. And that Procaster is pretty good as well, right? The Pod, I always get them confused. This is the Procaster, the desk, but that's mic is called the...
No, the Procaster is the mic.
That's it, the Rodecaster. There you go. But yeah, man. Yes, it's a good look. It's a good look. And also, one extra, you're still doing your show as well, which is good.
Yeah, man. Hopefully, I'll be back on daytime. We're looking at early August. Hopefully, we're getting the schedule back to normal. Obviously, like with social distancing and stuff, we can't have like just bare people turn up back at the studio. Like, and you'll know from being up there, it's so many people. I mean, you're talking about news, three different radio stations, One Extra, Asia Network, Radio One. So they're just trying to work it out so they can be as minimal amount of people, but still get back to the schedule. Because, yeah, everybody's had to kind of, this is the new normal, as we keep saying. Like, they've had to change shows. There's obviously, like, if you guys are following the transfer window in radio, there's obviously some new changes that will be happening in August as well. So yeah, we're just gonna see what's happening, but I'll be back on daytime at some point real soon.
Nice. Yeah, there's been a lot of movement and whispers.
A lot of movement and whispers. So
I'm not gonna press you, but do you have some knowledge? Are you aware of stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I know some stuff, but salute. But before, even if we have an opportunity to say that, I don't know if this is going out, but salute to Dottie, man. I think what she did in that breakfast slot is phenomenal, man. I think I said this to her, like, her sauce is unmatchable. Like, and I think she brought some different kind of sauce to breakfast radio, and she even brought sauce to the station. And being able to stand next to somebody like that gives us all sauce. So big up to Dottie, and I know she's going to kill it whatever her next move is.
Yeah, man, I feel like the pressure is on for the person who's stepping into shoes, man. So I wish them the best of luck.
I wouldn't want to step in them shoes. To be fair, I wouldn't even want to wake up that early in the morning, but I would definitely feel the pressure of coming off the day.
You've done breakfast before. What was your method? Because I used to try get the early night.
So I did weekend breakfast. I didn't do breakfast. But for me, that it was hard because I'm an active DJ as well. So I was like DJing on a Friday night and then going straight to the radio station signing. I had no method. That's the thing. My method was just make sure you're there at 5:30 in the morning. That was my method. It wasn't go to bed at this time, or I was just like, people calling me like, can you do a booking in Birmingham? And I'd be like, okay, cool. As long as I can finish my set by like 1-2 o'clock and just be on the motorway. I don't want to say this, but going fast within the speed limit, if that makes sense.
71.5 miles an hour.
When I think back, it was really dangerous because I'd be knackered and just be thinking, look, I've got to get back to the station in time. I can't. And I would just go. I'm like, it was hella Red Bulls and energy drinks. It was just like, yeah, it's not something I would do again. And if I was to ever do breakfast, if I was in a position where it was just like an undeniable, like, you should really do this, I would have to quit. I'd have to really weigh up whether I want to continue DJing or not, because it changes your whole life. Like, and I think Dottie's done it for 4 years, and in that time she's had a baby, she's got another baby on the way. Like, these are things that you want to make sure that you're going to give the most to your family. Like, there's so many things that you have to weigh up. It changes not just your life, but your family's life as well. Like, having to go to bed at 9 o'clock every day, having to miss out on events, like, always be like, do you know what I mean? And then what Dottie does as well, sorry to keep going on about her, but she would like go and she would do her One Extra show until 10 and then go to the office and do her day job. She got another job as well. Like, she works at a label. So I think I'm giving friend all her business out there, but she's a very hardworking person. So breakfast is a hard job. I only did it 2 days a week and it killed me.
Bread. It broke me, bruv. But I used to want to have my cake and eat it though. So and I always took the New Year's Day slots as well. Like I'll take those extra shifts. But I'd be like, actually, I've done a few New Year's gigs with you. You see me drinking in the club. But what I did was,
I've definitely seen you.
Yeah, I've definitely got a lot of energy. But I'd get the airport transfer. So they're like a kind of taxi, but they're designed to take you long distances to an airport with all your kit or your luggage. So I'd book those they were obviously cheaper than booking a independent taxi or a driver or whatever. So I'd sort that out. But many a time I have been there 5 minutes before going on air with my head in my hands, feeling full of club vibes.
Not me. So like Curtis was my producer. Big up to Curtis.
Shout out to Curtis. And
I think we just got into a routine where like for the first hour of the show, he just knew not to talk to me. from six, and as well, breakfast is like 4 hour show on One Extra. So it was 6 till 10. So from 6 till 7, I was just finished. Like, just don't talk to me. I'm not in the mood. 7 o'clock, I'd turn it on. But for the first hour, it was just silence and
a lot of music.
Yeah,
I hear that, it's man.
Very hard.
But that sleep when you get home after that breakfast show is sweet, though.
It is. But the worst ones is because on a Saturday, I mean, it's a Saturday. Saturday, if I get finished at Saturday, if I do weekend breakfast on a Saturday, 10 o'clock, it's time to do stuff. And I got kids that are so active. I got to take this one to martial arts. I got to take this one to dance. This one's going swimming. Like, there was so much stuff to do. So, my Saturdays were just, that weekend, that Friday to Monday was just hard for me. Tuesday was my day when I would just honk out. I'd just be dead for the whole day. No one asked me to do nothing.
Mm-hmm. But
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy again.
Right. Well, before we go, man, lockdown, how's it been treating you, bruv?
Yeah, man. I mean, I said this to you off mic, but I feel like...
You mean when I press record, but I forgot to tell you that I press record again. Last time I did that was in that episode clip that I played as well. Freaking hell, yeah, go on.
I used to do that all the time. We do a like, 4 hour podcast. I get home and like, oh, Ace, man. I'm so sorry, man. I didn't hit record. Oh, no, man. The memory card, man, it's corrupted. I know like lockdown's been quite difficult on a lot of people. I think for me, it's been the opposite, man. I found a blessing in it, man. I think, not to get too deep, but I feel like I had a real issue with confidence before this. And I feel like I've started to find it. I've found it during this time, and I've been able to just like sit down and work out what my next step is. I'm about to hit a landmark age, which we won't mention because I don't like
55, the word. 60 years old, Ace, 70.
I'm about to hit a landmark age, and I think in what we do, it's easy to feel like, am I too old to do this? And what should I be doing next? And should I be like, you start to question yourself, but I'm very clear in what I need to do next and where I need to go and my position in the game and how important I am to the game. Like, I think that's something that I might have questioned myself, but I think like all of these things are coming into my mind and the stars are aligning in certain things and I'm making steps and there's conversations I'm having with certain people that I wasn't having before and certain people are reaching out to me. I just think it's been a good thing for me. Obviously, COVID is horrible. We've lost some amazing people. Rest in peace to Ty. Like, we've lost people that are close to us. We've had family members or people that are close to our families lost. But in regards to just being able to sit down for 5 months, I found a real blessing in it, man. At the beginning, yeah, it was just Tiger King and Uber Eats. That's it. That's all it was. Tiger King and Uber Eats, and that's all I did. And I was like, what am I doing? But then slowly but surely, I started to just like do more research, getting online and working out all of this tech stuff and just working out the intricacies of stream, all of this stuff. I learned how to do a Rubik's Cube. Like, I'm doing bare stuff going on.
You're speed Rubik's Cubing now.
I got it down to like 2 minutes now.
Is there a technique?
Oh, yeah. It's about algorithms and patterns.
So it's just a cheat then. There's no, it's not, I shouldn't be impressed with it anymore then if it's just the algorithm.
No, not really. You could go on YouTube today and work out how to do it. I'll be honest with you, yeah. It took me about, how long did it take me, babe? It took me about 10 days to like perfect it, yeah? This is no real of a life. So it took me about 10 days to, because like it's learning the algorithms in your mind. You've got to keep learning the algorithms, yeah? So then my daughter came over and I sat down and I was like, look, this is how it goes. You do this, right? Blah, blah, blah. She learned it in an hour. And she was like, she's just like, now me and her are like battling to see who can get it done the quickest. She learned it in an hour and she's got it now, down packed. It's not hard, trust me.
I'm thinking of picking up something like that, but nah, man, I think it's just more Netflix for me, please.
I think I've watched everything. Like I've did, and like I think I know my lane on Netflix now. I definitely love the crime, like Unsolved Stories, Cold Case, Files, all of that stuff. What's the one I was watching recently about the Innocent Files? I've been watching loads of that kind of stuff.
Innocence Project. Oh, Innocence man. Project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my lane. That is my lane on Netflix. Obviously, I watched the Epstein, all of that stuff. Like the crime. Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. That is a wild dog.
Do you know what's mad as well? That's it's coming to light again. The whole case is there's like updates because that Ghislaine is now in custody and they refuse bail. So she can't get out. She has to stay.
It's wild
anyway.
She pled not guilty and apparently they're moving her from cell to cell because apparently they're saying, apparently, I don't want him to come after me. There are killers in jail. So I don't know. To see how this unfolds is going to be interesting.
I'm not trying to trivialize this, but you only really see things like this happening when you watch fictional shows where it's like, you know, like Breaking Bad. Do you know what I mean? Do you remember like there's like a mad hit that he orchestrates in jail? It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
She was even in a mansion in New Hampshire. And they said the way that she got away with it, she had some foil over her phone or something. It's like, these are things that are happening in fictional films. Like, this is nuts.
It's crazy. So anyway, yeah, we'll see. Absolutely crazy, man. But yeah, I just thought I'd say thank you as well for being part of the show, man. I know you've not been on for a while, but we are now award-winning. Obviously, that's what's kind of made us...
Man, congrats. Like, this has always been a vision for Marcus. I want everybody to know this, like, he pulled me in nice and early. Obviously, like because of like commitments, I wasn't able to continue doing it as often as I wanted to. But he grabbed the ball and he kept it moving. And look at you now, bro! Award winning, my G.
Saying it on
I wish
chest,
I could
bro.
Let the broadcaster near me. I'd drop a bomb for you. But yes, man, I've been watching it, and obviously I catch the clips every now and then, and I get to listen to every now and then. And it's just perfect, man. It's exactly what you wanted to do. You haven't strayed away from the topics. You haven't like diverted. Like sometimes it's tech, sometimes it's foolishness. You've had sick guests. I see Kofi Kingston. All of these things, man. I appreciate it, man. And I think what you're doing is amazing. And it's all you. It's black owned as well. You know what I mean? So we continue to support you, brother.
Yeah, thanks, man. And yeah, I want you to share in this win as well. Man, you're part of the DNA of the show. And like you said, man, black-owned podcast. I've learned a lot about being in this podcasting industry as it's kind of grown over the years as well, and how the conventional radio system's taking note of it as well. And I kind of want to make sure that we protect this space and make sure that it takes the best of the aspects of kind of conventional media that got transmitted across the airwaves, and also takes the best of the fact that we can be free and own it as well, man. So thanks for being part of win, bruv.
I wouldn't want you to say this on mic, but I'm very sure you've had phone calls about about deals and dead money that people are trying to offer you to take control of. I can imagine. I know. I already know. You don't even have to say it. I know. Like, I know that there's certain streaming platforms and maybe certain broadcasters that would look at this and be like, oh, this is cool. Let's go and grab that and let's offer him. I won't put no money out there. And I know that you are you're well within your knowledge to know that it's bigger than that. It's bigger than just signing it over to you, and it's bigger than just getting a wage to do this. So I want to salute you, because I know that sometimes as well in situations when we're offered crumbs, we'll take that because we see the broadcaster is huge, or we think that the association with a certain platform will help, and we'll just take the crumbs because of that. But for you, I can tell that it's about building your own thing and making this so that you've got your own. It's bro, I'm not going to keep. But I know that you've been approached by some platforms, and I just want to salute you for keeping it you.
Yeah, man, I think it's super important, man. Super important. I will tell people, like, I always, this is related to kind of a reply that I could give you off mic, but I've always wanted to make sure that I'm diverse enough so that if something happens, I'm in a place where I have enough ownership over what I do to be comfortable. So I think this sometimes, if the internet stops, how will I live? How will I continue? Have I got a backup plan? And I always think like that, and I think that helps you to kind of build something that you can take in a direction that you can be proud of. And also, with How to Kill an Hour, it's not called the Marcus Bronzy Show. It's called How to Kill an Hour for a reason. It's something that I want us all to be part of, and as we continue to grow, a platform that we can all take with us and have ownership of, man. So, but yeah, very good question, Ace. Thank you. there are some dead peas flying around out there, man. And I'm not hearing any of it, bruv.
Hi, Mark. We see your nice little podcast over there. If we give you a £15.49,
how would you like 0.25% of a penny for every listener? How would you like that?
We've got this nice little phone that we can give you.
I hear that, man. And also, you've got your podcast as well, man. Cut the Chat as well.
Yeah, man.
Bro, active.
For me, like, Cut the Chat is more of a, just an opportunity to just link up with my brothers once a week and chat shit. Like, and I think we've been doing it for so long, and it's almost like we can't even stop now. Because as soon as the episode's been, people are just like, "Hey, what happened to?" And like, people necessarily really want to know what's going on in our lives from week to week. So we'll continue doing that for sure. I think there is definitely a need to step it up to the next level. I think podcasting is definitely the future, man. People love it. People absolutely love it. And people want to know what's going on in our lives from week to week. And it's just another insight to the people that are on the microphone.
Definitely. And you can also just have like mad segues into things. Like, I'm going to ask you, Ace, this is going to lead into a clip I'm about to play. When you go for a shit, do you stand up or sit down when you wipe your ass?
What?
Because people don't know that. People don't know. Yeah, yeah.
No, we never spoke about this on a podcast before.
No, not us. It was on an episode. I'm about to play a clip from it, but I thought I'd just lead into that, Ace, and ask you the question, because people don't know that they're sitters. If you stand, people don't know that they're sitters. If they're sitters, people don't know that they're standers.
So I'm going to answer this question. My girlfriend is looking at me right now, and I feel like whatever the answer I give, he's going to judge. But I'm going to say this. I definitely still sit down.
Thank you. You're part of the sitting crew.
You kind of just lift up the cheek a little bit, and then you... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You lift up the side and then you go and then, yeah. But I feel like standing up is for kids, no? Dad's like, Daddy! And then you got to go wipe his bottom. That is... I've got two kids and I know that pain. Like, they call you after they've gone poo and then you got to wipe for them. So are you a sitter or a stander, Marcus?
I'm a sitter. I feel like I completed my toilet training. I feel like you didn't complete your toilet training if you stand up. Like, how, like, why?
I'm sure standing up is a bit messier as well. Like, let's not get into that.
I think it would create a shit burger. Yeah, you're right. I think the cheeks would push together the poop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know that.
All right, cool. Well, you're about to find out what the origin of this was, Ace. I'm about to play a clip. Let me just find out what it's called again and where it is. It was episode 270, Stand or Sit, the origin. It was Billy. You know producer Billy before I play it? Billy, man. He's a stander. How do you feel about that now?
He's a stander? Oh, man. Maybe he's got small butt cheeks, baby. Maybe the standing or sitting is defined on whether your cheeks touch.
If you've got butt cheeks that are so small that you, the picture in my mind's amazing. Like if you've got no bum, maybe you can stand up and do it. Actually, one more thing is before I let you go, you've survived COVID.
Yeah, it's mad. So I had, so for those that don't know, I'm actually like waiting for a kidney at the moment. So I have dialysis 3 times a week. And it was a Friday and I had dialysis. And when I got home, I was just like, I had this like mad fever and I had body ache, but I put it down to like, cause I was sitting underneath the aircon and I was like, oh, they made me sit under the aircon. They've made me ill now for the flu. So then that weekend, it was like Friday, Saturday, I'd still have the fever and the shakes. And then I had like body ache. And then by Sunday I felt better. And then on a Monday I called them and said, look, I had this like kind of flu thing. And I know that we're supposed to tell you if we've got any kind of like mad symptoms. I was like, I don't think it was COVID, but I'm just telling you guys. And I was like, look, don't come in. Like, we'll send you somewhere else to have dialysis. So they sent me somewhere else to have it in isolation. And they tested me there and then. And they were like, yeah, you had COVID, bro. But like, luckily didn't have like the main symptoms. I don't even think I had the loss. I might have had the loss of taste a little bit, but I didn't have the loss of smell. I didn't have the cough. My chest wasn't heavy. It literally was just like a 2-day slight flu. And I had the sweats and that body ache, and that was about it.
Scary, man, how it affects people scary. Differently.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody that is in the house with me would have probably had it as well. I just think it affects people in different ways, man. But then as well, they're also like, no one knows enough about this thing, bro. That's all it is. Like, I'm like, and I got to be honest, and this is bad of me, but like, I'm like, okay, I've had it, so am I immune? And like, well, yeah, you've got the antibody, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can't get it again. And then are there different strains of this thing? Like, they don't know enough. So yeah, we all have to keep being careful. Like, keep wearing your mask, keep washing your hands, like practice social distancing if you can. It is scary. Look, I see the fear in Marcus's face.
Before I press record, I'm like, Ace. I've got alcoholic, like the actual, what's it called? Like the doctor's thing that they use, you know, like in a film when they splash 100% alcohol on over a wound and like, I've got that sort of stuff. That sterile alcohol wipe. I'm not fucking around.
You're not ramping at all.
I'm very used to that, man.
I think we're like, you see a lot of foolishness out there at the moment. Like I've just come from outside and it looks like nothing's going on now. Like everybody's just normal. We need to really be careful, man. Like we just recently had the first day that no one died or whatever. Like we still don't know enough about this thing. Is there going to be a second wave coming? Like, is there different strains of it? Like, what? We have no idea. So everyone just be careful out there, please.
Yeah. Well, I do. It's been very interesting learning about human behavior. I have seen people that were so ready for pubs that they were in there on the first day. I'm just like, but anyway, we won't get into people bashing now. Ace, thank you for joining us on episode 100. We said we'd save it for something special. So, I'm about to play a clip of where we basically first started speaking about whether we stand up or sit down. And we also found out that Billy's a stander. So, yeah, we'll get into that. Cheers. So as you can hear, the conversation with Ace was actually quite a nice long one. In fact, I think it pretty much brings us up to a whole episode. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue the conversation and you're going to hear the clip that launched the whole, do you stand up or sit down when you're in the next episode? Because that kind of was one of the highlights that we've had with Nick Bright, another one of our presenters over the years. So you can look forward to that in the next episode. In the meantime, make sure you follow us on @HowToKillAnHour on all social medias. And I'm @MarcusBronzy, MarcusBronzy. And I'm really, really thankful to you, the listener, for being a part of How to Kill an Hour since we have started doing these, man. Like, you know, it's taken a while, but we're going to places that no other podcast has gone before. So yeah. In the meantime, stay blessed. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.